salt. It's time.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Morning. I think the separation is getting greater and greater and greater. I don't know how you guys feel this morning on the 25th of July, 2018. I'm full of vim and vigor and, my head's spinning. Not spinning in that I'm dizzy, but in spinning in like the computer spins. A lot of things running through my head this morning. I just want to say again here that I'm just so thankful for those of you who are on your way to being all in. Notice I said something, on your way to being there. And I'm not saying that I am. I mean, Lord knows that we all have the tentacles of the world that hold us back. We live in desperate time. And I'm not negative. I mean, I'm just telling you. So it's like, you know, out here in Ohio, I don't know how it might be where you live. When we get the word in the winter that there's a blizzard coming, they say, oh, you know, up to 18 inches of snow. we hunker down. You know, I laugh my way through it. I make sure I got enough firewood for the fire. Make sure I got the snow plow ready to go. Got the shovels ready to go. But man, it's coming. And when it hits, it's going to be hell, and it's going to blow, and it's going to snow, and I'm not going to be able to find my stinking driveway. So I'm not negative about it. It's a reality of it. Okay. I can't even in my mind imagine what my parents' generation would think of today and what the things that we're dealing with. And if you don't think that that evil is increasing, just stop and think about the America that you grew up in and think about today and the good old US of A. We are accepting. We're on the verge of accepting pedophilia. We're on the verge of it, folks. We really, really are. And I was struck by something I didn't watch yesterday's show because my heart really went into that one. And sometimes I go back and look at something like that. I didn't want to go back and look at it, but I know what you got yesterday was all my heart, and how we are so calloused towards those who are not our children. Now, it doesn't really bother us that other people's kids are being molested. Other people's kids are being taught sodomy in school. It doesn't bother us. And we're not smart enough to understand that. Yeah, we're smart enough, but we don't put two and two together to understand that at the age of 22, my precious granddaughter who's being homeschooled, and we do the best we can to train her the way she should go, she's going to live in a world they're going to live in a world together. The scripture says, can two walk together lest they agree? How do we see? Don't you understand that the whole purpose of multiculturalism? Listen, this is deep. Okay. Here's the whole purpose of multiculturalism. This is the whole purpose. When you think about all the immigrants and everything they're sending over our way, why are they sending it to America? Well, they're sending them to America because we are, number one, we are the last bastion of liberty and freedom in the world. That's evaporating on us very quickly. But America evangelized the world. We did. We took the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. And we have been the barrier. America has been the barrier between evil and good. Now we're losing that. We're rapidly losing that. And I'm going to jump into some of that this morning. We've been the only barrier. And so those who are, don't forget, seed of the serpent, seed of the woman. Don't ever forget that. Those who are working for the seed of the serpent, their entire focus in their life is to destroy the seed of the woman. That's their entire focus. So the whole idea of all this immigration and everything is they want to bring in a bunch of third world people into America so that when everything turns bad, they can say, look, hey, Everything's multicultural now. Look at England. England's got Muslims. America's got Muslims. We got to get rid of that Christian God and that Christianity, because look, America's just like every other country now. That's what they're trying to do to us. See, we don't understand. We don't get it, because for whatever reason in our hearts, we're kind, sensitive people. Americans have been trained that way. I want to show you something here real quick. Jared, I just shot this up there, and this is kind of an odd thing to start with on the show, okay? It is. Jared, just think of this 94-year-old vet. Pull that up there in his little video. I want you guys to see this. I want you to see this, because I was watching it this morning. I thought, man, oh, man, there it is. Whoop, there it is. How's that go? Whoop, there it is. Whoop, there it is. This 94-year-old veteran yesterday at a rally that Trump held, I think it was in Kansas City or someplace out there in the Midwest. I'm in the Midwest, out there, wherever that would be. And this 94-year-old veteran, World War II veteran, gets up and he gets an opportunity. I don't know how he got the platform. And here's what I want you to see. I want you to see something that I think is apparent. Number one, don't ever forget, this old boy is America. It ain't Barack Obama. It ain't Andy McCabe. It ain't Hillary Clinton. It's this old boy here. And I also want you to watch, as you're watching this, Donald Trump, for all of his billionaires and all the women he's had sex with, and that probably, hang on a minute. Can you imagine being a billionaire, having all the money you could ever want, all the power you could ever want, walk into a room and every woman wants to try to bed you down because she's going to get some money out of it. She likes that power, whatever it is. Can you imagine living a life like that? And would you think that the congressman and Andy McCabe and Peter Straw, you think they're sleeping around? Why they want to all point the finger at Donald Trump? And yeah, he slept around. I bet Donald Trump's probably bedded more women than we could ever understand. I'm not justifying it. Just the reality of life. In fact, don't we? Isn't that the kind of lifestyle that we give to our kids? Oh, be like him. Oh, yeah, go out there and be a rock star. And yeah, bed, sleep with as many women as you can. Well, isn't that the, and then here's a guy who, yes, you guys know what I'm talking about. Here's what I want you to see. Let's think about this as I was watching this video. In a crazy sort of way, Donald Trump is us. He really is us. You think about Hillary and all that stuff that's been exposed. If Hillary had been president of the United States, imagine where we would be today, okay? So I'm not blowing my horn for Trump, but I study people. I watch people. And I want you to watch. We're not going to watch. We don't have to watch this whole thing. But don't ever forget that this 94-year-old vet, he's America. He is. It ain't just punks out in the streets. It isn't. All right? The spirit's still alive. And I want you to watch the human reaction, the just genuine warmth human reaction of Donald Trump. Go ahead and play this, Jared. This isn't profound. This is something for us to watch, fellas. Don't ever forget, old people used to be young. I'm a grandpa. In 30 years, I'm going to be that old guy. And to think that the things that I've been through in my life and the things that I did and all, nope, my grandkids are going to laugh at that, say, oh, well, that's just some old man waiting to die. Man, oh, man, oh, man. This old boy is America. Go ahead, Jared.
I just thank you. This is one of the highlights of this 94-year-old man. I just want to tell you a few things, may I, yes. Mr. President?
I've got time.
I had four brothers serve in World War II. My oldest brother was lost off the coast of Italy. Many times I just wished that he could come back to the land of free and the home of brave again. I've given to the veterans of foreign wars 70 years of my life.
Hey guys, what have you given 70 years of your life to? Huh? Go ahead, Jared.
Thank you. My wife's with me today, but she's not here. She's not feeling well. And my children are watching me today, hopefully, to know that their dad got to stand beside the President of the United States.
Okay, Jared, you can cut it off. See, we forget, don't we? Hey, Jared, do this for me. Let's go to stuff. And the stuff I sent you. And I want you to pull up a two-minute video again of Muhammad Ali. Now, my wife cautioned me the other day and said that, you know, golly, you shouldn't have glorified Muhammad Ali. Listen, I ain't glorifying Muhammad. All right? And Muhammad Ali, as far as I know, he ain't with the Lord. He didn't die. He didn't die a Christian man, right? But truth is truth. Now, no matter whose mouth it comes out of, truth is truth. And I just came across this two-minute video, a little bit melancholy. Folks, God is doing something. God's doing something. I'm not going to read it. I got a text message from Rob Pugh last night about Ray LeBlanc and what a difference Ray LeBlanc is doing up there. And you mentioned Lindell, and I spoke to Karen yesterday. People are calling me, emailing me, texting me, saying, Coach, I got this urgency in me that I'm supposed to go somewhere and do something. I heard from five people yesterday who said that. Now, that makes you cultists nervous, huh? Coach building a cult. I said to my wife, man, I don't have anything to do. But there's a stirring going on. There's a stirring going on inside of people saying, Lord, what am I going to do here with these next 20 years of my life? Right in this time, Coach, how do I get close to the fire? I want to get closer to the fire. I feel that heartbeat of a lot of you that are watching. A lot of you. And I was thinking about that 94-year-old vet. 70 years been serving the Veterans of Foreign Wars, VFW. 70 years. What have you been serving for 70? Other than yourself. I'm reminded when that, Jared, what was the name of my brain went dead, the football player that got killed in Afghanistan. They know it was friendly fire. You guys remember who I mean?
Tillman?
Yes, thank you. Tillman. Never forget what Pat Tillman said. He said my grandpa fought in the Second World War. My uncle fought in the Korean War. My dad fought in the Vietnam War. And I ain't done a damn thing. That's what Pat Tillman said. So the older you get, the more you begin to reflect. When you're younger, you're building your life towards something. And then all of a sudden you wake up and you're that age and you ain't built nothing. And I'm not melancholy over the fact that I haven't built anything. At the end of your life, don't you want your life to have significance? Don't you want to? And there's that 94-year-old vet standing beside the President of the United States. Yeah, Vinny.
You don't believe it's true that you didn't build anything, do you? I mean, you have this ministry at the very least.
No, I'm not. Thanks, Vinny. I'm not feeling sorry. I'm not oh me and oh mine. I'm putting my feet in the water every day. And, yeah, I worked out again yesterday. And, yeah, I'm sore.
There's almost 5 minutes. There we go. All right.
Okay, so now listen. This video from Muhammad Ali, it's two minutes and 20 seconds. I watched this thing, and I thought, you know what? This is where most of the people in the queue are. Can I say it again? This is where most people are. This is where most of us are. And I sit around and I ask myself this. I'm sorry, I just got to ask it. How can pastors be so uninvolved? How can pastors see what's going on in America and their only concern is to take care of that little flock sitting inside that box? Why aren't our men of God, our pastors, our men of God, why don't they understand that the sand is running through the hourglass? And why don't they get involved and do something? What is going on?
Listen, I'm not God. They're men of mammon. It's all about the money. That's all they care about.
There's some good ones, but I agree with you. There's some good ones. I got.
Hey, Coach, careful. I keep asking myself the same question. I can't. I'm like it's like two different worlds. It's two different worlds. One world is inside the box, and the other world is what's happening on the outside.
Glenn, I got guys who are sitting in the box, peeking out, watching, and they see that I'm going to go to the clinic and never ask to come with me. Never! Ever! What's going on? What is
because
that?
It's fear. It's fear. It's fear of they're going to look foolish or somebody's going to it's just fear.
They look foolish in the eyes of the Lord.
That's right.
Hey, Jared, play Muhammad Ali. It's 2 minutes and 46 seconds. You tell me this isn't profound.
I want to say something right here. This might make you all think. Life is not really long. Let's say the average person 30 years old. If you're 30 years old, you are not but about 7 years old. How can I prove it? Add up all the 7, 8, 9 hours you slept for 30 years. Out of 30 years, out of all the nights, last night when you went to bed and woke up this morning, you don't remember a thing. You've been unconscious for about 8 years. If you're 30 years old, you slept about 8 years. Okay. How much traveling have you done in 30 years? From the television station to home, to another country, to another city, to school, to church. You've probably traveled 2 years your life or spent just getting back and forth to where you're going. So there's 8 years of sleeping, 2 years of traveling. There's 30 years out of your life before you accomplish anything. How long do you sit in school? In America, we stay in school from the first grade to 12th grade. Same here?
Yeah.
6 hours a day. 6 hours a day for 12 years, break it down. You sit in a classroom for 3 years without leaving. Okay, 2 years of traveling, 8 years of sleeping, 3 years of school. How many movies have you went to? How many wrestling matches? How much entertainment? How many movie theaters, live plays, baseball games? Probably 2 years of entertainment. By the time you have children, by the time you have made a way for your children, by the time you've paid for your home, you're pushing 60 years old. So life is real short. So you add up all your traveling, add up all your sleeping, add up all your school, add up all your entertainment, you've probably been half your life doing nothing. So what am I? I'm 35 years old. 30 more years, I'll be 65. We don't have no more influence. We can't do nothing much at 65. Your wife will tell you that. So what I'm saying, when you're 65, ain't too much more to do. So did you know I'll be 65 in 30 more years? In those 30 years, I have to sleep 9 years. I don't have 30 years of daylight. I have to travel back to America, take 6, 7 miles. All my traveling, probably 4 years of traveling in the next 30 years, about 9 years of sleeping, television, movies, entertainment, about 3 years of entertainment. Out of 30 years, I might have about 16 years to be productive. So it's how we can all break individual lives down.
Wow, huh? You ever look at it that way? You ever look at it? Man, oh, man. I said to Michelle yesterday, it's almost August. It's almost August. By the way, Chad's having a Salt and Light Brigade thing at his house August 3rd through the 5th. Chad, are you out there that you can come in and tell us about that? I just got your text message here. Some details. Folks, listen, I'm just going to tell you this. It's so critical for us to get together. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know. Like Muhammad Ali just said, I don't know how long it would take you to get the chats. Maybe it's going to take you 6 hours. Maybe it is. 6 hours home, that's going to be 12 hours you're going to waste. What if you don't go to Chad's? What are you going to be doing with that 12 hours? What are you going to do with it? And so we have to begin to prioritize things that are going to make a long-term difference in our lives. Chad's having a Salt and Light Brigade gathering at his house in Moody, Texas, August 3rd through the 5th. Are you there, Chad? I don't even know if you're listening this morning. Get there.
Yeah, I'm here, Dave.
Tell us about it, Chad.
Well, we're just going to have another powerful assembly on the 3rd. So if you'd like to, you show up at 7 p.m. on Friday. We'll have a cookout and stuff like that, and then we'll break. And then Saturday, we'll have a full day of activities. And Sunday, we'll have some more of the same, and we'll have communion and stuff like that. And then we'll conclude, later on Sunday afternoon.
It's about fellowship more than anything, isn't it, Chad? Bringing the body together. Okay, so
amen.
We're setting one up. We're going to do one in Wisconsin. We're going to do one in Oklahoma. I'm going to lay all this out here for us later on at some point.
Also, Dave and gang, if you're not able to make this August one, the 3rd, 4th, and 5th, we're going to be having another one in September, the weekend of the 15th. That's, I think it's a Saturday, but weekend of the 15th of September. So if you can't make this one, try to make that other one. Thank you.
All right, buddy. Michelle and I are going to be there in September. I'll break this. I want to get back to where he was. Go to Isaiah 56, Jared. Isaiah 56. What are you wasting your life on? Really, that's what it comes down to. What are you wasting your life on? Go to 10, Jared. I've shared this before, but this was all over me when I got up this morning. I was up early. I got to say this again. If you missed David Arthur's show again yesterday, you're missing a jewel. Comes on 9 o'clock. You can find it on the archives. You can go to his website, alphabetman.com. I think that's what it is. They're banning him. He got booted off of something. The ex Sean at the SGT report, he got banned from YouTube. It's going on all around us, man. The censorship, it's going on all around us. And you know what's killing me? Here's what's killing me, Isaiah 56:10. His watchmen are blind. I just want to pause there, man. The unbelievable blindness in most of America's pulpits is astounding. And we read yesterday, or 2 days ago, whenever it was. By the way, Russ Dizdar is going to join us tomorrow. This popped into my head. Told you that's where my brain runs. Russ is going to join us tomorrow. Tinfoil hat Thursday, whatever it is. I'm just amazed to think that I can't, for the life of me, figure this out. All of the evil that we see going on in the American culture, all of it. What is our obligation? What's my obligation as a man of God? Is my obligation merely to get together on every Sunday and just encourage those people to come and get inside my box? Is that my job? If I know they're teaching homosexuality to my neighbor's children in the school, do I have an obligation to do something about that? If I know that they are ripping the body parts out of somebody else's grandchild at the abortion clinic, do I have an obligation to do something about that? Or am I just supposed to pray? Coach, you go and I'll pray for you. I'm not called to do that. Really? Pick up the phone, dude. I think it's ringing. Here, the red phone. I think it's ringing. I think you are called to do it. I do. Your kids, the kids that you are pastoring are going in to the gates of hell for 7.5 hours a day, and you got nothing to do with it. You don't inform your people about it? Is it because Israel's watchmen are blind? Is that why it is? Are we afraid that they're not going to come back to church? Are we afraid they're not going to give money? Well, who are you serving, man? Who are you serving? Michelle and I were laughing yesterday. Sometimes I laugh about things I hear people say about me. You know, you just got to brush it off. You just got to brush it off, you know. Unbelievable stuff. Like what? Like I'm tinfoil hat and doctrines of demons and starting a cult. And oh, my goodness. It's crazy. Israel's watchmen are blind. Are you? Somebody help me here a second. I'm going to ask this question. If you were a watchman, how would you know you were effective? I'm opening it up. Let's say you were. Let's take this out of the church. Let's say you're a night watchman at a factory. You are a night watchman. What would a watchman do? What does a watchman do?
Well, Coach, I'll go back to the pastor point, and then I'll answer that question of the night watchman. The role of the apostles, the prophets, the pastors, the teachers, the evangelists, is to equip the saints to do the work.
Mm.
It is to equip the saints to do the work, in other words, and then cover them when they go out and do the work, because the pastor can't do it all. But you're right. That's all they want to do. They want to hoard it in.
You go, Dale, you're a pastor. You go.
I do go.
You do go.
You don't go. You don't do it just by word and in truth, but by demonstration and in love, brother. You got to go. That's what makes Paxton a great general, is that he led the troops.
So, Dale, you think abortion is murder to the point that you get in your car and you drive to where they're killing the babies?
Coach, I don't think it is. I know it is.
But you're... Amen me, though. That's what you do, right? You say, you know what?
Absolutely.
They're killing babies down there. I'm a watchman. I got to go. What do watchmen do? Jared, there's a good Webster's 1828 watchman. Go ahead, Jared. Go ahead.
Now, while he's looking for, I'm sorry, but Coach, real quick, what the watchmen are doing, many of them, is what they find in a little nook corner that they can just crawl up and sit down in a chair and fall asleep and get paid for it.
Amen. A sentinel, a watchman is a sentinel, a guard. Huh? Israel's guards are blind. Hey, Jared, what's a sentinel? Sentinel. That is a soldier spelled wrong. How about that? A soldier sent to watch or guard an army, a camp, or other place from surprise, to observe the approach of danger and give notice of it. In a popular sense, the word is contracted into sentry. Sentry.
Hey, Coach.
Hang on just a second, Jared. So is a watchman supposed to say, look, they're teaching homosexuality in our schools? Get ready for the rapture. Is that what a watchman's supposed to do? Go ahead, Jared.
When I worked in Seattle, I had a job as a security guard, a night security guard in a 20-story apartment building. My job wouldn't have been very effective if I just sat in the lobby the whole time. So I was required to walk every floor a couple times a night, check the roof, go outside, walk the grounds, look around, go to where the dark spaces might be, where people might be acting untoward, to protect the others inside the building. And then if I find them, I contact the lawmaker, the person who upholds the justice, or if required, do it myself. So that's what a watchman does.
So Jared, at some point, if you're the watchman, you have the time may come when you have to put yourself between the people you're watching for and evil. You may have to put yourself between them. And Jared, isn't your job to alert? Doesn't it say that? To alert? To take you. Go ahead, somebody else, come on in.
Hey, Coach.
Hey, George.
Coach.
Yep.
I just thought of an analogy because I know you being a
old football coach and loving football. I mean, I love football. Hey, think about this. What if someone dressed up like Urban Meyer and he looked exactly like Urban Meyer and he came out on the field for Ohio State and he didn't know a thing about football. He knew nothing. But he coached the Ohio State Buckeyes versus Michigan game. Okay. Mm-hmm. People would look at that and go, man, what is going on? This is crazy. I mean, this doesn't even look like football with this guy's coaching, right? See, I think that's what we have in the church today. We have a lot of pretenders. We have guys that look like Urban Meyer. They look like the pastor, but they're no more the pastor than fly to the moon, because you know what? They're not executing Jesus's game plan. They're executing their own game plan, and it ain't working too good.
So let me ask you this. This makes some of you nervous. If we were sitting around and we were being critical of President Trump, or we were being critical of the Senate or the House, everybody's fine with it. But you start being critical of pastors. Oh, you can't be doing that. When I would say that might be our greatest problem. Everything that's going on is going on with the approval of the pulpit. Everything going on in America.
Amen, hey, Coach.
Every bit of it. And it's because we don't want to stick our neck out. And I don't want to either. Hey, guys, I got 4 grandkids. I got two more that are on the way. I got a beautiful home. I could sit on my back porch and drink coffee all day and just let, you know, I could retire from Past the Salt Ministries and let somebody else fight it. And could there be a more selfish thing to do in your life than that? Could there be a more selfish thing to go to gather a bunch of people around, tell them everything's okay? Everything's going to be, just as long as you follow Jesus, everything's going to be okay. Is that really what's that about?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
I think really great historical analogy would be the Black Robe Regiment.
Uh-huh.
Those pastors, man, were willing to put their lives on the line. They not only talked about it, but then they were willing to go fight, you know, when the time to do that. So I think it's where a lot of pastors are. So a lot of them are just in the pulpit and you know, go ye therefore and do it, but they won't be the example. And well, I think to me,
Paul, let me play off that a second, Paul. I've said it a number of times here. You can't teach what you haven't done. You can't teach what you haven't done. And so, therefore, pastors, church leaders, watchmen, they're watching the house of God. That's all they're watching. Never dawned on them to do what Jared said to do, to go to those dark places and see what's going on those dark places, so they can come back and they can give a better warning to the flock about what's going on. Yeah, see, hey, folks, listen. If the church doesn't stand up, who's going to? If the church will not, if our leaders won't stand up in times of trouble, if our leaders won't, who's going to? We're gonna see. We elect Donald Trump, and he tries to stand up a little bit. And then everybody complains he's not Christian enough. Well, where's the Christian Donald Trump? Well, he's in Houston, Texas, with 10,000 people in his church, watching all this stuff go on. In fact, opening up the door and allowing some of this stuff to come in. Black Robe Regiment was the name that the British placed on the courageous and patriotic American clergy during the founding era. Wow. Significantly, the British blamed the Black Regiment for American independence. And rightfully so. For modern historians have documented, there is not a right asserted in the Declaration of Independence which had not been discussed by the New England clergy before 1763. And can I tell you what else? You know why our pastors can't fight together? They're jealous of each other.
That's not a surprise, Coach.
I'm letting that sink in. They're jealous of each other. This guy's got a bigger church, has more money coming in, and hey, look around you, man. Look around you. No lost people around you? No lost people around you? Going down there, pounding the streets, knocking on doors. What would happen? What would happen to see? What would be happening to your church if Roger, that big church you go to, what would happen at that big church? If the pastor stood up and said, you know, I've had a real change of heart here. We are going to take back America. We're going to. And we're going to reclaim our schools, and we're going to stop abortion. That's what we're going to do, folks. And we're going to start it from this moment in this pulpit. In a month, how many people would be at that church?
I think many people would respond. And if you went to the social issues, the gay stuff, you'd lose some. And I think there'd be, it's all about leadership, Dave. You know, I don't think everybody would run. You know, I'm not the only one that thinks the way I do there, but it's about leadership. And it's about a budget that needs $70,000 and the lack of trust of God providing for that.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Or they've got themselves in trouble because they didn't follow the Lord. They did something on their own that they shouldn't have done on the Lord, on their own.
Here's absolutely.
Here's a point.
You can't teach what you don't know, Dave. You said you cannot teach what you don't know.
Right. So if I don't know anything about kicking field goals, I find somebody who can coach them on how to kick field goals. And I wonder how many pastors, church leaders are watching. They're not watching this. If they were watching this, I wonder how many of them have, you know, they have a men's ministry and a women's ministry and a youth ministry and what do they call that? Nursing home ministry. They got ministries to everything. I want to know, where's the school board ministry? Who's your minister to the school board? You have one of those? Who's your ministry to city council? Who's your ministry to abortion? You have anything? No, you make it a hospital. Everybody come here to get the back rub. That's not what, folks, I'm sorry, that ain't what you're supposed to be. Not what it's supposed to be. And so
that's what I
go ahead.
Okay. Well, I was just gonna say that's what I found, Coach. And most of the time it was social hour. So I showed up for Bible study and they just, and I know we need fellowship too, but there was like 15 minutes of Bible study and 45 minutes of talking and social hour, and you weren't getting fed.
So well, I know you won't say it. Rob Pugh's got a story to tell about that, and I'm not gonna embarrass him, bring it on there. See, well, can I go back to Isaiah 56? Can I go back there? Is it okay with you?
That's some donuts.
I'm trying to show you what's going on here, man.
Our process.
Rob, we can hear you. We can hear you making love to your dog there, or whatever you're doing, being nice to your dog. By making love, I didn't mean that to be vulgar. I mean talking nicely to your dog. Verse 10, his watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. Hey, Jared, Webster's 18:28, please. Ignorant. Unknown, undiscovered, unacquainted with, ignorant of guilt. Unskillfully made or done. Ignorant is a person untaught or uninformed, one unlettered or unskilled. And see, they are all ignorant, meaning this, they don't want to know. They don't want to know.
Hey, Coach.
That's what ignorant, hang on a second. That's what it is, means to be ignorant. You don't want to know. It's not that you're stupid. You don't want to know. I don't know. Hey, have you guys ever heard anything about Russ Dizdar and MK Ultras? I don't want to know that. Go ahead, George.
Hey, you know that verse that says sin is, it's, I'm kind of paraphrasing, but sin is pleasant for a season, but in the end, therein lies death. Well, yep. It's kind of like that's the American church. Everyone thinks, that's attending, oh, this is fun. We got all these programs. We're doing God's work. But they really, like you said, the watchmen are blind. The people are blind. They don't realize the end thereof of that system is death. And they don't realize that's really what they're a part of.
Amen.
Not something that's life producing.
Who are fellas, folks? Who are the watchmen in your city? Now, let's stop here for a minute. Oh, Lord, I just got so much to share with you. I'm going to show you something here in a second. Jared, don't let me forget it. I got a part of a video I want to show. See, America's in the condition it's in because there aren't any watchmen. Nobody kept an eye on those guys. They went to Washington, D.C., and Nobody kept an eye on it.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
It's worse than that. Okay, so going back to the intelligence agencies, are we supposed to take their word and gospel that they're doing the work of the American people when they've been lying to us decade after decade?
Vinny, I'm going to show you something about that here in a second. But it's what I'm saying. See, when we can continue to look over our shoulder, we can't go back there. But when the first mention of homosexuality was brought into America's public schools, there should have been an outrage of watchmen. No way. No way. And now it's in our church. Now we accept it in our church. Pedophilia is coming. I can show you that one. It's coming. It's coming. Why? Because Jared, his watchmen are blind. Let's go back there. I'm sorry if this isn't making you feel all good inside. I'm going to start verse 10. We're going to do this. Will be good. This will be good. His watchmen are blind. They're all ignorant. They are dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping. Lying down. Loving to slumber. Yeah? They're greedy dogs, which can never have enough. And they are shepherds. See, he say watchmen and shepherds. Watchmen and shepherds. He connects the two. I didn't. He did. They are shepherds that cannot understand. Don't want to know. Well, I don't want to know about that. Why? You're talking about what? Huh? Boy, that coach. It's tinfoil hats. Really? Well, you're ignorant. You can't even bark. You lie down, slumber. Yeah, they're greedy dogs, which can never have enough. And they're shepherds that cannot understand because they all look to their own way, everyone for his gain from his own quarter. Come ye, they say. Come on into our church, and we'll bring smoke machines, and we'll do some fancy praise and worship, and we'll get us some skinny jean guy that'll do the music for us, and we'll fetch some wine, and we'll fill ourselves with, oh, it'll just be great. And tomorrow it's going to be just like this. It's going to be even better. Best life now. Now, Jared, I want you to look this up in the Message Bible. You should be able to find it right here, Jared. It's one of the choices you get, King James, whatever, the Message Bible. Let's see what the Message Bible. Hey, folks. Yeah, there where it says King James, Jared. Just search down there for Message. This ain't the real Bible, okay? The Message Bible isn't the real Bible. There it is, the Message, the MSG. There it is. There you go. Isaiah 56. Just go to Isaiah 56, yeah, and pull that up there. Let's see what it says, Isaiah 56, 10. 9 through 12. A call to the savage beasts. Come on the run. Come, devour beast barbarians. Send to the animal. Come on and eat us, man. You come on right on in here. Why? For Israel's watchmen are blind. A whole lot of them. They have no idea what's going on, nor do they want to know. Their dogs have sense enough to bark. Lazy dogs, dreaming in the sun. Oh, but hungry dogs. They do know how to eat. Voracious dogs with never enough. And these are America's shepherds. They know nothing, understand nothing. They all look after themselves, grabbing whatever's not nailed down. Come, they say, let's have a party. Let's go out and get drunk. Tomorrow, more of the same. Let's live it up. Some of you guys are watchmen. Some of you are. And some of us, I'm talking about me now, have refused to act like a watchman. We've refused to pick up that mantle. And I want you to know it's going to be costly. A 94-year-old veteran, four of his brothers, lost one of his brothers. It's costly. It's costly.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
The word ignorant, it's strike. I mean, I'm sitting here listening and just soaking this in and listening to that word ignorant. Mm-hmm. And there's a Latin word, ignoramus.
Mm-hmm.
It is actually where we get the word from a agnostic. Mm-hmm. So the word agnostic, Latin, would be ignoramus, without knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So really, what you're saying, what scripture's saying is that these watchmen are just as valuable as what these agnostics, those that don't care if there's a God.
Mm-hmm.
But really, an agnostic, and most atheists, I've been able to walk off a ledge onto agnostic and say, you know, you're not an atheist because you don't have absolute knowledge there's not a God. But you're more, I consider, an agnostic humanist. You're trusting in the strength and the wisdom of man. And 100% of the time, I've had them say, you're correct.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what's happening is our watchmen are leaning on their own understanding. And I think for all of us, there's times that we all do that. But the Bible says, lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge God in all your ways. He'll direct your path. And, you know, carrying that ball, it's that mantle of knowledge. My people perish without knowledge. So keep up the good work, Coach. I just want to throw that in there about agnostic and ignorant.
Thank you. I got a text message here. I won't say who it's from just because I could, but I'm not going to. Message says, spot on, Coach. That's why not one pastor in this town will have anything to do with me. We're radical, they say. Really? I thought we were fighting together to advance the cause of Christ. Very frustrating, brother. Very frustrating.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, yes.
The other thing that I'm seeing, too, is like there was the lady that I baptized this week. So she.
Yeah. How about that? Now, hang on a second. Sandy, we ordained Sandy. And a lot of people say, how you ordained her? She's not qualified to be ordained. What are you doing ordaining her? And then Sandy immediately goes out and baptizes somebody. Now, she didn't need to be ordained to baptize, but that ordination gave her the confidence to go do what the Lord's called her. Go ahead, Sandy.
She's been dabbling in the occult and the New Age for some time, and it's something that I had done in the past.
Oh, I don't want to, Sandy, there isn't an occult. There isn't, that's not real. That's doctrines of demons, Sandy. Go ahead.
I was able to just be, you know, just show her a lot of compassion. You could just see the hurt in her eyes. She'd actually had an abortion in the past. And I mean, here we're having dinner after the baptism and I'm talking to her about some of the street things she could do and tears just start running down her face. And it's something that's just been, it's just been hurting her for most of her life. And she's been in churches and they're all doing the same thing. They're all going and they're doing their yoga and they're doing their coaching, like through the yoga circuit. And she even knew about chakras and all sorts of stuff. And that's all stuff that I dabbled in. And I felt her pain. And she said, you know, she left the church because she was convicted. She left those churches. And those women are still doing the same thing. And they're still pulling other people in church who are in pain and lost. And they're pulling them down that awful path. So I just think it's something we should all be aware of and cognizant of because it's happening in the churches.
As Israel's watchmen are blind, this stuff's creeping in the church. They say, well, how does that affect me? How's that affect? Well, it affects you greatly. Hey, listen, I got, thank you, Sandy. I got 11 minutes. I got to wind this thing up. I don't know if you guys saw this. Listen. I joke. I don't believe it's tinfoil hat. I believe it's the truth. And the reason some of you guys laugh, say, well, that's tinfoil hat, is because you're ignorant. What does it say? You don't want to know. You don't want to. You're perfectly content, stuck in your box, believing what you've always believed. You're willfully ignorant. Russ Dizdar is going to come on tomorrow. I'm telling you this. I know without a shadow of doubt that what Russ Dizdar is telling us is true. Not all of it, maybe. I mean, we all miss it some places. But MK Ultras and mind control and sex trafficking, that's all real. That's all real. And you think the average person believes that? You think the average pastor believes that? Of course not. So let me show you something here. The rats are leaving the ship here real quick. Jared, pull this up there real quick. It says Clapper and Obama. I don't know if you guys saw this yesterday. Hey, folks, this ain't tinfoil hat. They just want you to think it is. See, this happened to most people. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. This is James Clapper. Well, boy, I got so much to tell you. 35 seconds, and you're going to hear James Clapper say that this whole Russian collusion, this whole thing, was Obama's idea. The rats are leaving the ship, okay? This is 35 seconds long, and listen to what James Clapper says. Go ahead.
Weren't for President Obama.
I'm sorry, start again, Jared. This is on, he is on with Anderson Cooper. Do you understand that? James Clapper's on with Anderson Cooper. Go ahead.
If it weren't for President Obama, we might not have done the intelligence community assessment that we did that set off a whole sequence of events which are still unfolding today, notably Special Counsel Mueller's investigation. President Obama is responsible for that, and it was he who tasked us to do that intelligence community assessment in the first place. I think.
Yeah, you guys understand what you just heard? You understand what you just heard? And they'll lie, oh, no. Yeah. Now I'm gonna drive you, I'm gonna show you something else. I'm sorry, I gotta get this in before I'm done here this morning. Last night I was listening to Hagman and Hagman. I was transfixed as I listened to Kevin Shipp. You guys probably never heard of Kevin Shipp. Jared, it's in the stuff, Kevin Shipp. I want you to pull that up there. Now, first of all, this is his website. He's a former deep stater. Jared, right there. Okay, now, Jared, I want you to pull that up and go to 21 minutes and 30 seconds. I just want you guys to, this is a presentation of Kevin Shipp. Go to 20, about 21. Folks, listen, this is what we're dealing with, okay? This is what we're dealing with, and they're distracting us about who Donald Trump slept with and all this kind of stuff. He was a CIA, top CIA guy, okay? And he's been fighting. It was fabulous on Hagman last night. Go back and listen to it. But I want you to watch this, these charts that he puts up on the, this stuff is so real. And this is what our watchmen have got to understand. See, this has all happened with the watchful eye of the church, or lack thereof. Go ahead, Jared. You can go a little bit farther.
There are some of us.
Go ahead. That's right there. Be good.
Deep state. And that's really what it is. That's a smokescreen. The deep state and shadow government go back for every presidential administration going back to 1947. So it's not Obama holdovers, and I'll show you why in a moment. It is massive. The military-industrial complex, Eisenhower, when he gave that speech, originally called it the military-industrial-congressional complex, because Congress is tied in so deeply with the military-industrial complex, it's disgusting. But they convinced him to take Congress out of the military-industrial complex speech that he gave. Congress is very much involved in the military complex and the deep state, and you'll see in a moment why they promise us one thing and then they vote on something exactly opposite. The lobbyists in Washington, D.C., I think, spend $4.8 million a year lobbying the Congress and the Senate to get their way. We'll call it the MIC just for short. Wall Street, directly connected to the deep state at the hip, and it is so connected to the Treasury now, they're almost like business partners. And a lot of Wall Street has billions in offshore accounts that nobody knows about, connected directly to the Department of Treasury, which has a secret database on us, by the way. Most people don't know that. Treasury has its own secret database. It has opened the back door for the NSA and the CIA to come in and look at financial information on us. Just found that out. Foreign lobbyists, Israel and Saudi Arabia, I'm not making a comment on either one, but they might as well have a Senate or congressional seat. The amount of power and influence they have over our elected officials is phenomenal. And the millions and millions of dollars that they contribute is also phenomenal. Defense contractors, bound by the deep state. Intelligence contractors, I will get into these. There's something that I call the secret intelligence complex, industrial complex. We've got the military industrial complex. We've got the secret intelligence industrial complex, just as big, just as powerful. Nobody knows about. We'll talk about that.
Okay, you can pause that.
The Federal Reserve.
Federal Reserve, folks. This presentation, Jared, make that available for these guys in the queue, however they can. This is worth the hour and 4 minutes to watch this. And now, here's the question I'm asking: Are the watchmen only to look at spiritual things? Do our watchmen have an obligation to watch this government too?
Absolutely.
Again, if Christians aren't keeping them honest, who's going to? See, Christians have we've withdrawn from politics. Say, oh, don't mix politics and religion. We absolutely have to mix politics and religion. We have to, because politics becomes it becomes the new king. That is the new king. This guy, this is so fascinating. It goes on for an hour. He took last night on Hagman, Kevin Shipp took calls for about an hour and a half and people calling in. He went through the whole gamut. He was the deep state. He's a born again, fire baptized believer in Christ, trying to explain to all of us what's going on and what it is that Trump is trying to fight. And we're worried about who he slept with.
Hey, Coach, you know what you have? It appears to me that you have, they talk about the separation of church and state. What you really have is the separation of the church and the world. The church is doing its own thing and is oblivious to what's going on in the outside world. And so they don't even talk about it. It's not even mentioned. They don't even pray for the president in church, at least the church I go. They don't even mention it.
Half the people don't like him, right? Oh, they all prayed for Obama, though.
Amen. Amen to that.
And it's because the pastor doesn't want to get controversial. Might make some of those Democrats mad. Well, hell, I'd run them off. That's pastor. I'd get them converted to get them out of there. Yeah, Jared.
Just even you said it in how you said it, right? Do watchmen only watch spiritual things? Well, does that mean that physical things aren't spiritual?
That's right, brother. Huh?
It's all the same, right? God became flesh. Does anybody get that? Christ, God became flesh. That's a metaphysical, reality-shattering event. Okay? Like, that, it's not too, it's, one, they're combined. I mean, there's, the DNA changes, right? I mean, it's.
Right, they're connected, man. They're connected. It's all connected. And we don't get it. See, we're the only bastion of freedom left. We are it. We are the last standing, strongest bastion of freedom, and our pulpits won't stand up and fight for liberty. They're believing we're just going to get out of here. The end is coming, and we're just all going to be taken out of here. Well, what the hell is that going to look like? What's that going to look like? Oh, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness.
See where
Yeah.
I remember when I was in a Sunday school class, we would be, somebody had a toe ache and their toe hurt, and, somebody had a back ache, so we pray. And then when you say, well, we need to pray for our nation. We need to pray for our president. They just look like you're a complete idiot.
Yeah. Yep, yep. They don't want to be stained by the world, Roger. Can't be stained by the world. But so I got a question for you. If we're not supposed to impact the world, why are you here? Why did he leave you here? Why did he save you and take you home if you're not supposed to impact the world? I'm thinking about becoming president of the David Arthur fan club. Can I tell you why? I'll tell you why. Because he has been, I watched David Arthur. And I think, are you telling me this guy used to act like, this guy thought he was a woman? And that God miraculously reached down and totally transformed his life? And now he is the LGBTQRS's worst nightmare? Why didn't the Lord save David Arthur and just tell him to love everybody? Just love everybody, David. Just going to churches and preach the love and the love of the homosexual. Why didn't he do that? Because he saved him for a purpose. Have you been saved for a purpose? What is that purpose? To do what it says in Isaiah 56? Huh? Come say ye, say they, and I'll fetch wine and we'll fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow will be like this day, only much better than this. Our best life now. Boys, you're a watchman. Girls, you're a watchman of the Lord, and that requires some duties we definitely have not been fulfilling. Time for us to step to the plate. Bless you. See you tomorrow.